Evening.
Good evening. Okay.
Nice to hear from you.
Sir?
It's nice to hear from you. I assume you're the first one.
Yes, sir. Judy.
Good evening.
Good evening. Anna.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we will start.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Last night we counted the 12th day of the Omer. And we'll start with the Lashon Yehud specifically for the Omer. Lashon Yehud Kutshaberi Hu Ishkinte Bibhimu Urhimu Urhimu Udhimu Liakta Lashem Yudhe Bavate the Yehuda Shalim Lashem Kol Yisrael Hinea Nachdu Bayem Lakayim Mitzvat Sefirata Omer La Sot Nachat Ruach Liotsrenu V'la'asot ratzon boreinu. V'ayinu amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanenei aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanenehu. And step two is we'll connect to the verses that prepare our consciousness. Adonai Elohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Igmor Adbadi Adonai Elohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Azdecha Leolam Ma'asei Adicha El Teref Echra Le'Elohim El Yom La'El Gomer Alay Li'avor Alayich Vi'arech Matzboseset Damayich Vayomar Lecha Bedamayich haye, v'yomar lecha bedamayich haye. Barki nafshi et Adonai, yohe wahe adanu yo, yohe dawanu heyo. Elohim elohe gedal kameot. Od lehadar levashta, o taor keshama nota shemayim keria. The blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Yud Hey Wav Hey Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Vetzivanu Al Sefirat Ha'omer Ha'yom Shlosha Aser Yom La'omer Shehem Shavua Echad Ushisha Yamin. Today is day 13 of the Omer, which is 1 week and 6 days. Arachaman hu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash limkoma bimheira b'yameinu. And we all say amen. The number 13, by now we should all be familiar that it connects to the word echad, which translates as unity, as oneness. Please join me in saying the menorah psalm, Psalm 67. We will stop in two locations, one for a word and one for a letter. Lam natseach bin ginot mizmor shir. Elohim yechanenu vivarkenu. Ya'er panav itanu selah. La da'at ba'aretz darkecha, v'kol goyim yeshua techa. The 13th word is yeshua techa. And this is a word that means your salvation. The path to salvation lies in the attribute of humbleness. How can you expand your being more and more humble? What is humble? What do you need to change about yourself and your actions to be more humble? How do you avoid false humility? Being humble is knowing where your spiritual level is. Yoducha mim Elohim, Yoducha mim kulam. Yismechu v'ramenu lo. The 13th letter is the letter Aleph. Aleph. Most people don't realize this, but the Aleph is composed of four pen strokes. A Yud on the top, a Yud on the bottom, and two Vavs in a diagonal form. The two Vavs look like one. They're unified, but they're really two. How does the Aleph, uniting all these four different pen strokes, how do we understand that unity of all the disparate parts? The one that looks up to Hashem, one that looks down to material physicality, and the two in the middle, one going up, one going down. In what way are you on the fence? In what way are you in the middle in your life today? In what way do you find balance? And what can you change to remain in balance and yet still get off the fence? Le'umim ki tishpot amim, mishor ulumim ba'aretz tanhem selah. Yoducha mim Elohim, yoducha mim kulam. Eretz Nadnayu Ulayu Varkenu Elohim Eloheinu Yivarkenu Elohim V'yiru Oto Kol Asei Aretz. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach Yedulat Yemincha Tatir Serura Alephet Gimel Yitat Sadi Tabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Tacharenu No The 13th word is the Nun from Nora. My mistake. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. The 13th word is Na, the letter Nun. The letter Nun that connects to falling. But with our consciousness, we can convert it to a vaccine to prevent falling. The letter Nun has a gematria of 50. And that relates to the holiday of Shavuot, which is the light of the Torah. And that's the amazing aspect, the duality of the letter Nun, which is why there's a final Nun, as well as a regular Nun.
Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Yevavat Shamrim
Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin.
Barchen Tacharen Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Reish Tzaditat Gimel Hasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adatecha
Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim
Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Tenei Zofre Kedushatecha
Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayim Kuf
Shavatenu kabel, ushma tziakatenu, yodea ta'alumot,
shin kufat, tzariyuta. In the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper.
The 13th journey is leaving the Sinai Desert and camping in graves of craving.
The Hebrew words are kivrot hata'avo, hata'ava.
The kevers in plural, kivrot, and the craving, hata'ava.
And Moses named this place Graves of Craving since it was in that place where they buried the people who had these cravings.
This journey represents the times in life when you are consumed by the seductive power of lust and desire, when you become buried by your own desires. The nature of craving and desire is such that, left untamed, it turns into a fire that holds you hostage in its tentacles. This is the power of every addiction, in which your obsessions tragically dig your own grave. In a positive note, the Baal Shem Tov, citing the Sefer Brit Menucha, the covenant of comfort, interprets the term graves of craving as a state of utter self-nullification through cleaving to Hashem, when one experiences the death of cravings. They become buried with no potential of reviving inappropriate desires. Perhaps this state can be accessed by people in recovery. But first, you must hit rock bottom and begin your climb to return to that higher level than you started. Ribono shel olam, ata tsevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirata omer, kedei letacharenu miklipotenu umtumatenu, kimo shekatavta betorata uspartem lahem mimacharat ha-shabbat. Miyom haviachem et omer hatenufa sheva shabbatot mimot teina mimacharat ha-shabbat hashivit sifaru chamishim yom kidei sheitacharu nafshotamcha Yisrael mizohamatam. Uvashem, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, Adonai Yohewahe, Adanu Yo, Yoahe Dawanu Heyo, Eloheinu, Elohe Avotenu, Shebiskut Sefirata Omer, Shesafarti Hayom, Yetukan ma shebagamti besefirah. Yesod shebegivurah. Yesod is the foundation, givurahs of judgments. The foundation of judgments. Yesod is a foundation, but it's also a connection to the higher levels or the lower levels. It's that channel between the two, and it's intimacy. V'yetaher v'yetchadesh b'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. Today is the 28th day of Nisan. It is Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day. The So all of the 6 million are considered to have passed this day. In addition, the Tzaddikim who passed or chose this day to leave, Rabbi Shem Klingberg, then Rabbi Abraham Mordechai, the Salochtitzer Rebbe of Krakow, Rabbi Shabtai Shefti Horowitz II, Rabbi Yechiye ben Yosef Tzalach, known as the Maharitz, Rabbi Yehoshua of Ostrova. He was the son of Rabbi Shlomo Leib of Lentcha. Rabbi Yosef Yoske Rosenberg of Zalkava. Rabbi Yehoshua Pinchas Bambach of Ushpitzin. Rabbi Yisachar Lieb Weinberg of Slonim. Rabbi Aryeh Shapira. Rabbi Aaron HaKohen Rosenfeld, known as the Pinsk Karlin Rebbe. The prophet associated with Yesod Shebegevurah is David HaMelech. Yesod Shebegevurah has a gematria of 398, and the word for 50 in Hebrew, chamesh, or chamisha actually, has a gematria of 398. And we know the number 50 connects to Bina, the world that is coming. So we see that Yesod Shebegevurah can be a channel to Bina. Our class tonight can be found on the unique astrological currents page. When you open up that unique astrological times, scroll down to the title where it says About Shabbat HaGadol. The link above it is titled The Relationship Between Hare and the Omer Period, as explained by Rabbi Isaac Luria, known as the Arizal. This will be our handout tonight. We'll be learning about how the Omer and the halakha not to cut the hair are related. We'll start with a L'shem Yichud,
and then proceed into the handout. During the Omer, we let wisdom flow unabated. According to Jewish law, the Halakha, it is forbidden to cut the hair of one's head during the period of the counting of the Omer, in remembrance of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who died as a result of a plague. The Talmud explains that they perished as divine punishment for not honoring one another. The students stopped dying on the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, which is known as the holiday of Lag BaOmer. And to many, today many cease this semi-mourning at this time. Others, like the Ari himself and the Kabbalists, have accustomed themselves to continue all the way until Shavuot, at the completion of the 49 days. And I can attest, the lines outside of the barbershops are quite long on that day. My commentary: in Kabbalah, we do not do something to commemorate a physical event. Thus, the above explanation is inadequate, in my opinion. Let us hope the spiritual discussion below will clarify the reason for the minhag to not cut our hair during the Omer. The reason we don't cut hair during these days is because, as is known, there is a rectification among the Sheva Tikkunei Reisha, or the seven rectifications of the head of Arisantin, in the supernal skull, the Golgotha, called Emer Hanaki, literally the white wool, associated with the hair which flows from the head of Arisantin, and another rectification called Talei de the Behutulcha, literally the crystal dew associated with the brain. All of these terms are new to most of us. But one that is not new is the word Golgotha, because that is well known from coming out of the Catholic Church. My commentary: all of these code words need to be explained. If they are not explained during the balance of the essay, I will attempt to explain them at the end of the essay. To fully understand, one must understand the language of branches, and that needs deep explanations of code words, especially the ones in the above paragraph, as they are dealing with the levels of Keter and Arisantin. As the Ari will elaborate, the word Emer, Emer Hanaki, is spelled the same as the word Omer, Ayin Mem Resh. The measurement described for the daily barley offering meant to be brought during this period. Besides the skull itself and the cranial membrane, pruma de avira, the two above mentioned of the seven supernal rectifications of the head in Arikantin, described by the Zohar Idra Rabbah, the large assembly, are the two most supernal, through which all influx of divine wisdom descends to the lower worlds. The mitzvot associated with the period of the counting of the Omer actually help sweeten all of existence. The Emer Hanaki, understood by most as relating to the place of the ears of Arichantin, originates in the inner Netzach and Hod of Atik Yomin. Tale de Beducha, the brain of Arichantin, its Chachma, originates in the Sefirah of Gevura of Atik Yomin. And this is the supernal root of all judgmental forces in Adam Kadmon. Thus we see that these two places are the source of most of the harsh forces that descend into the world that we experience. By being conscious of the powers invested in us to mollify these powers and put them into a useful context, via the mitzvot associated with the period of the counting of the Omer, we actually help sweeten all of existence. Regarding the requirement that the generation of the Exodus preserve a measure of manna as a remembrance to future generations, the Torah states, Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put a full omer of manna into it. Place it before God for safekeeping for your generations. A few verses later, the amount required is further described. The above paragraph is the secret of the verse. The omer is a tenth of an ephah. The Ari understands the Omer in the above verse as relating to the Omer of barley that we offer during the period between Pesach and Shavuot, known as the counting of the Omer. Thus, two times the word Omer is the numerical value of the word Keter, associated with the skull of Arichantin. And the Emer Hanaki, which is associated with the hairs of the head of Arichantin, which are the Sefirah of Keter. And here the Omer is a tenth of an ephah, is the secret of the letters of the word Peah, which is associated with Malchut, which is called Elohim, which is the tenth of the ten levels, literally the ten characteristics, midot. Thus, a tenth of an ephah. The words ephah, the measurement, and peah, literally corner, as in the phrase, the four corners of the earth, denoting this worldliness, are spelled using the same letters. And peah is where the Torah says, do not cut the peah of the head, the corners of the beard. So the Ari is making the connection between the ephah as a unit of size and the peah of the beard that is not to be cut. My commentary. In Hebrew, ephah is spelled Aleph Yud Pei He. Peah is spelled Pei Yud Aleph He. Same letters in a different order. Behold, Rabbi Akiva expounded upon these hairs, which is a secret of when he taught about the crowns of the letters. In the traditional Asherite script of the Torah,
The crowns on the letters resemble small hairs. My commentary. The Asherite script is a very mystical type of font, which is used in the Torah. Some letters have one crown, some letters have three crowns, some letters have no crowns. In the Torah, 1,800 letters have crowns where the base or hair-like line is not straight, but are bent. Rabbi Akiva is said to have explained these letters. In modern scrolls, these bent letters are not written this way anymore, since the understanding of these differences are not well known. The Midrash says that Moses was arguing with God at the burning bush, and he was saying, I'm not the one that you should send to be the Redeemer. There's better people. And he used his experience of visiting the teachings of Rabbi Akiva when he was explaining these 1,800 letters and the crowns on those letters. But of course, God said what he said, and paraphrasing it, he said, I've chosen you to do this task. Rabbi Akiva has other tasks to do. I'm continuing to read. The Talmud describes Moses' astonishment after being given a prophetic vision of Rabbi Akiva expounding myriads of laws learned from the crowns found in the traditional Asherite script of the Torah. These crowns resemble small hairs and are described in the writings of the Ari as channels for the descent of supernal wisdom. And to add a little bit more information, did you ask yourself the question, why is there 1,800 letters that have crowns that are bent? You should understand what 1,800 represents. 18 is high, and a number, whenever there is a gematria in the level of the hundreds, it is referring to Bina. Whenever a number is in the level of the thousands, it is referring to Chachma. Whenever it is on the level of the tens, it is referring to Zeranpin. Eighteen hundred letters, which means that there are more than 1,800 crowns that are bent if we were producing Torahs properly today. Why do I say there are more than 1,800? Because some letters have three crowns. Do you think all of the crowns were bent? Or only one crown to each letter? When there are three crowns, the bent crown could be any one of the three. And by which of the three would relate to which column of the Tree of Life this halakha, this font of wisdom, this channel of wisdom, was related to. All of what I have just said to you, except for the idea of the thousands and the hundreds and the tens,
Everything else that I have said was my opinion. Continuing to read. As a result, because his students perished, it is forbidden to cut hair during this period. And I am saying during the period of the Omer. But why would that be? As we know, doing something physical is not a reason. And these people who died, these tzaddikim, these students of Rabbi Akiva who died because they didn't treat each other with respect, it's not a reason to not cut hair. We don't cut hair because the hair is part of the peah, the corners of the beard. And we're really not clear where is the corner of the beard. Some will tell you they know where it is, but it really isn't clear. Where is the corner of the beard? And in order not to cut the peah, not to bring judgment into a period already filled with judgment, we choose not to cut our hair. Rabbi Akiva's students were rooted in an aspect of his soul and were channels for his wisdom into this world. In commemoration of this loss, it is fitting that we, on a microcosmic level, act accordingly. Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech from Dinov, the B'nai Yisachar, citing the Ari's teachings that Rabbi Akiva was rooted in the Sefirah of Chachma, notes that the Hebrew word for honor, kavod, that which Rabbi Akiva's students were lacking in their treatment of their fellows, has the numerical value of 32, related to the 32 paths of wisdom, or the 32 paths of Chachma. I would add an unwritten commentary. The 24,000 students were taught to show kavod, taught to show honor to each other, but they didn't. Rabbi Akiva would not have avoided teaching them this very real important halakha, this important spiritual law. So why did they not follow the teaching? And it is very clear when we study, you are who you hate. And we begin to understand that every human being will eventually arrive at the development of being a child of Israel. And what happens is these students of Rabbi Akiva had parts of each other's soul. They had sparks of each other's souls. And because they would have part of a soul part, a soul spark of one of their brother students, they would have hatred for no reason. Because they needed to exchange those soul parts to get to back to where it was a complete soul. And so they never recognized, because when it is your tikkun, the tikkun is never revealed to you. It's up to you to use binding by striking to do the right action
at the right time in the right location with the right kavanah. And that's what was missing from the 24,000 students. The inability to use binding by striking when it came to their fellow students. This is my opinion. Issachar was reincarnated in Rabbi Akiva. Elsewhere, the Ari notes that the Hebrew word for hair, seyar, is rooted in the same letters as the word for barley, seura. The actual commodity brought as the Omer offering. My commentary. Both words, Seyar and Seura, use the same Hebrew letters, Shin, Ayin, Resh, in different orders. It's also, if you permutate those three letters, it spells Shin Resh Ayin. Resh Ayin is evil, the Hebrew word Ra for evil, and the Shin is the passion, the fire. By rearranging the letters into the different orders, we correct the passion of evil. This is why we bring the Omer. This is why we count the Omer. Continuing to read. The word Omer has the numerical value of the letters Shin and Yud, 310, as in the concept of 310 worlds. Yesh is spelled Yud Shin, Miayin. Literally, Yesh Miayin translates as existence from nothingness. My commentary. For those who have not yet made the connection, Yeshem can be parsed into Yesh and Shem. Translation, there is a name. Ayin, nothingness, is related to the Sephirah of Keter. Thus the Ari hints that the entire supernal source of the strength of Rabbi Akiva is the same as that of the Omer period. This is the first Yud Shin of the name Issachar, the son of Jacob, a strong-boned donkey who was reincarnated in Rabbi Akiva. This is the secret of when Rabbi Akiva said, "I will bite you all as would a donkey." In his younger years, Rabbi Akiva, before returning to the fold, used to threaten the sages of his generation. Thus, in Gates of Reincarnation, the Ari goes into great detail regarding the reincarnations of Rabbi Akiva, citing in addition that the majority of the members of the Sanhedrin, the greatest of the sages of each generation, were from the tribe of Issachar, whose strength lay in the Sephirah of Chokmah. That's the end of our class for this evening. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When you were talking about the payas, referring to not cutting it because of judgment period. How does that pertain to women about cutting hair?
How does it affect women?
Well, you're talking about the payas, like that's for men, right? So,
if you say so.
Okay, so you're talking about the payas.
I'm,
Judy, I'm playing with you.
Oh,
Payas, that's okay. Payas is a mitzvah that relates to time. The corners of the field you cannot cut. You leave it for the poor to take so they have something to eat. The corners, the payah, the payas in the Yiddish expressions. Because the not cutting of hair is time related, as in the Omer is a period of time as well. And the payah where we don't cut the corners of the field was due to the harvest time, a period of time. Women are exempt from that mitzvah. But that women are allowed to accept upon themselves each mitzvah that is time bound if they so choose. It's not that you have the responsibility of that mitzvah, but you can choose to have that responsibility. I'm of the opinion that in our generation, the growth of the women's movements is associated with each generation has a different separation point between male and female when they come into this world. Today I listened to a shiur from a rabbi who was saying that for the first time. It's a thought that had occurred to me and that I've accepted and understood from my own intuition. But his statements were, no one ever spoke of this before he did. Whether he did or he didn't, or there was others I'm not going to go into. But the issue is, in every generation, where the splitting between male and female halves of the soul takes place is different. And in our generation, that splitting is causing the women to search for additional wisdom. They want to be studying the Torah, as almost all of you on this call tonight are women. You want to be studying Torah, but studying Torah is a time-bound mitzvah. You're exempt, except you have a feeling that it's what you need to do. So when it comes to whether you should not cut your hair or not, it's an individual decision of each woman. What do you feel? What is your intuition telling you? And if it is saying, I'd rather cut the corners of my head, you're allowed to do so. But if you're saying, no, I'd rather not, then you are accepting that mitzvah upon yourself. And that is a great blessing. I know I've gone roundabout with different ideas in what I just said, Judy, so I hope it's clear.
No, that was very good, because I've never cut my hair, but when I was hearing you say chaos quite a bit, I thought, well, I just never had heard it like that, but you explained it very well. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Does anybody have any other questions? Tomorrow, we will have three classes as well. The 11 a.m. West Coast time class is Jewish history.
And I've been teaching that for a while, and some of you have joined us. We basically teach the history based on the what's the times that the parasha is expressing. Then at 4:30, we'll have a deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. is questions and answers. Shalom Gadol. Shalom to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Shalom. Thank you. Good night.
Shalom.
Shalom to all of you.